Welcome to D&B College. Today we're building a warehouse code subweight roller inside Ableton Live 12, and by warehouse code, I mean something heavy, controlled, and a little dangerous. Not flashy, not overworked, just a bassline that feels like it was engineered to lock into the kick and snare, push the room forward, and keep the floor moving without turning the low end into soup. The real focus here is automation, because a roller is not just a loop. A roller becomes a track when the bass evolves across the drop, the second half switch, and those tension points in the arrangement where the energy needs to rise without getting messy. That's the difference between something that sounds cool in isolation and something that actually works in a DJ set. So let's build this properly. First, get your drums in place before you write the bass. You want a groove that already feels like a roller. Snare on 2 and 4. A solid kick pattern. Hats, and ideally a break or some ghost percussion that gives the rhythm motion. Set yourself an 8-bar loop minimum that gives you enough space to hear phrase movement instead of just hearing one static idea repeat. Why this works in D&B is simple. The bass has to respond to the drums. It needs to answer the snare, avoid the kick where necessary, and fill the gaps with intent. If the drums are too loud or too polished too early, you'll make bad bass decisions, because the weight relationship is hidden. So keep it functional and rough enough to read. What to listen for here is whether the drum groove already suggests forward motion, and also whether there's enough space between the kick and snare for a sustained note or glide to actually speak. Now build the bass in two layers. On the first track, make your sub. Use operator, start with a sine wave and keep it dead simple. No unnecessary movement, no width. No nonsense. The job of the sub is reliability. Program notes around the pocket of the drums. Use long notes when you want weight. Use shorter notes when you want the groove to stutter around the snare. On the second track, make the character layer. This can be operator again, or wave-eatable if you want a slightly more complex tone. Use something filtered and controlled, like a saw or a restyle tone, but keep it in check. High pass it so it doesn't fight the sub. The idea is to give the bass some audibility on club systems without stealing the foundation. A good starting point is a sine sub with no spread, and a character layer that gets filtered somewhere around the low mid zone, depending on how gritty you want it. Add a little saturation on that top layer, somewhere in the 2-6 dB range of drive, and keep the sub cleaner than you think you need to. The reason this two-layer approach works so well is that it lets you automate movement without destabilizing the low end. The sub stays solid. The top layer carries the motion. That's a very D&B way to work, especially if you want pressure without losing mono integrity. Now write a phrase that leaves room for the drums. This is where a lot of people go wrong. They fill every gap because they want the bass to sound busy. But a heavy roller often sounds bigger when it is selective. Put in a longer note before or after the snare. Drop in a short pickup into the next bar. Leave a rest where the snare needs to speak. Repeat a motif every couple of bars so the listener locks onto the shape. What to listen for here is whether the bass feels like it's pulling the bar forward, and whether the snare still lands with authority. If the bass is already sounding huge and solo but the groove feels crowded with the drums, back off. Reduce the number of note events before you add more. In this style, simple often sounds more expensive. Next, shape the tone with stock Ableton devices. On the character layer, one clean chain could be auto filter into saturator into EQ8. Start with a low pass filter somewhere around 180 to 300 Hz. Then automate that cutoff slowly over 8 or 16 bars. Keep the saturation modest. Then use EQ8 to clear out any boxy buildup in the 250 to 500 Hz area if the mix starts feeling cloudy. If you want a darker, nastier version, you can flip the order and use distortion before the filter. That makes the movement feel smoother in one case, or sharper and more aggressive in the other. So think of it like this. Distortion before the filter is usually smoother and more contained. Distortion after the filter is nastier, more present, and more direct. Both are valid. It just depends whether you want warehouse pressure or neural-leaning bite. Keep the sub track separate and clean. Don't process the sub just because the character layer is spicy. And if the sound starts getting wide, hollow, or facey, stop and fix that before touching automation. A subweight roller has to stay solid in mono. That is non-negotiable. Now we get to the core idea. Automation that creates phrase movement instead of random motion. Start with the character layer and automate the filter or cutoff first. Over the first 8 bars, slowly open it from a darker position into a slightly brighter one. In bars 5 to 8, you can add a small lift in saturation so the phrase gets a little more aggressive. Then in bars 9 to 16, pull the filter back down slightly so the second phrase feels heavier, darker and more grounded. You can also ride volume in tiny amounts, maybe 1 to 2 dB, just to emphasize certain peaks or response notes. These are small moves, but they matter. In DNB, the floor doesn't need constant brightness. It needs contour. It needs pressure building and pressure releasing. What to listen for here is whether the bass feels like it's getting closer to the front of the room in the second phrase, and whether that added movement increases intensity without making the low end smear. If the sub starts wobbling, leave the sub alone and automate only the top layer. That's the safe move, and honestly, it's usually the right move. Now treat MIDI note edits like automation too, because they are. Shorten a note right before the snare so the drum can hit harder. Extend a note into the gap after the snare to create pressure. Move a pickup note slightly earlier if you want urgency. Mute one note in a four-bar phrase so the loop exhales. Those tiny edits create a lot of emotional shape. If your bass has glide or portamento, use it sparingly. One clear slide every two or four bars can feel massive. Too many slides just make the line sloppy. In a warehouse roller, restraint is part of the sound design. Now let's shape a full 16-bar arc. A good structure might start darker and simpler for the first four bars. Then introduce a little more movement in bars 5 to 8. Open the filter a touch and add a bit more saturation in bars 9 to 12. Then in bars 13 to 16, either thin the bass for a breath or add one tight fill that sets up the next section. For the second drop, change only one main thing. Maybe the filter is brighter. Maybe the note ending changes. Maybe one phrase gets a higher octave accent. Maybe the saturation gets more obvious. Just one main shift. Don't change everything at once. The strongest second drop evolution keeps the identity intact while making the system feel like it has moved forward. This is why it works in DNB. The track doesn't need a brand new idea every 16 bars. It needs energy contour. It needs the listener to feel tension, release, and escalation without the floor losing the plot. Now check everything in context with the drums. Soloing the bass is useful at the start, but the real test is the relationship between kick, snare, and sub. The kick should keep its attack. The snare should still feel like the event in the bar. If the bass is too dominant, reduce the character layer during busy drum moments or use a small volume ride. If the bass feels too polite, add a bit more harmonic content in the 150 to 400 Hz zone on the character layer, but don't crowd the drums. And check mono, always. In a warehouse-style roller, the low end should collapse cleanly to mono without losing its shape. If the bass only feels good when it's wide, it's not ready yet. One of the best ways to create tension is with short automation throws. A quick filter open on the last half of a bar. A brief saturation lift before the drop hits. A one-beat volume dip before the snare lands. A reverse swell or noise swell leading into the return. Keep these throws short and purposeful. Think punctuation, not decoration. Good amounts are subtle. Half a bar to one bar for a filter throw. One phrase ending for a saturation bump. 1 to 3 dB for a volume dip before the return. The point is contrast. In DNB, contrast is power. A useful workflow tip here is to work in three passes. First, get the pitch and rhythm right. Then shape the tone. Then add automation. If you try to design all three at once, you usually overwork the phrase and lose the bar structure. Keep one loop version in your head as the truth, and duplicate it if you want to test riskier variants. Another great habit is to print a few versions of the character layer once the automation feels good. Darker, more open, more aggressive, tighter. That gives you something real to compare, and it often makes arrangement decisions faster than endlessly tweaking one loop until it loses impact. Let's not forget the biggest mistake people make here. They automate too much. Every bar starts twitching. Every idea is in motion. And then the drop loses its pull. The listener needs a clear sense of phrase, not a constant stream of novelty. Small changes over 4, 8, or 16 bars will usually hit harder than constant modulation. Also, keep the snare as the reference point. If the bass starts sounding huge but the snare loses authority, you've crossed the line from heavy to crowded. That bar needs a center, and in this style, the snare is usually the anchor. Here's a simple quality check before you keep refining. Mute the character layer. Does the sub still carry the groove? Then mute the sub. Does the character layer still support the line without sounding random? Lower the volume and listen quietly. Does the phrase still read? If the answer is yes to those checks, you're in a strong place. A final thought on arrangement. The best warehouse rollers are built for DJs, so the bass should have a clear intro, a clear drop, and a clear escape route for the mix-out. Don't make every 8 bars a giant event. Give the track breathing room. Give the listener a structure they can feel. So to recap, build the base in two layers, keep the sub clean, centered, and stable, let the character layer carry the grit and movement, write a phrase that respects the drums, automate across phrases, not randomly, use small filter, saturation, and volume changes to create pressure, check everything in mono, and always judge the bass in context with the kick and snare, not just in solo. If you get it right, the result should feel heavy, dark, and physically rolling, while still staying readable and DJ-friendly. That's the target.